Hello everyone. You're very welcome along on this latest audio walk from Open Country and Bolton Abbey. It's a bustling day on the Bolton Abbey estate today. I've just arrived at the Cavendish Pavilion from where we're starting this walk today, and people are out in force to enjoy the beautiful weather that we've got for this walk today. The sun's out, there's a few dappled clouds, and there's a cool breeze just taking the edge off that early summer sunshine. But I have a feeling that in a moment we'll escape all of the crowds that are concentrating around the riverside areas as we make our way up the beautifully named Valley of Desolation, which conjures up some interesting thoughts of what we may encounter along the way, maybe even a few daunting thoughts. But I suppose the only way to find out is to put our best foot forward and start this audio walk today. We've only been walking a matter of moments and already things are starting to feel a lot more peaceful. We've left the riverside path and ventured up onto the road, which is leading to a gate in this beautifully built dry stone wall. At our side of the gate, there's some lovely sycamore trees that are currently shading me from the sun, and a patch of bluebells and wild garlic that are giving off contrasting scents, the sweet smell of the bluebells and the tang of the wild garlic. But beyond the gate, all I can see is moorland and grass and a few dappled trees. That signals the start of the Valley of Desolation and our walk today. Let's keep going and see what else we can find. The sound of running water and people has been replaced by a cacophony of rural sounds, from the sheep and lambs bleating on the hillside to the birds flying and tweeting in the trees. We've just joined a farm track that's leading us deeper up into the Valley of Desolation, and it's a beautiful scene. The sun is at our backs, the sky is blue, and the new growth on the trees is just popping forth and glowing this beautifully vibrant green colour. That, of course, is echoed by the grass all around us in this beautiful meadow. Although this place is called the Valley of Desolation, I'm not really feeling that desolate yet. Let's see how we get on as we venture further and deeper up the valley. The track started to climb now, and alongside us we're being flanked by oak trees. There's quite a few, I would say, relatively young ones. Mind you, when I say relatively young, I probably mean about 50 to 100 years. But to my left is this huge, ancient, I would imagine, oak. The circumference of the trunk is probably about 10 paces all of the way around, and it's still going strong. The branches are twisting their way out towards the blue sky, and the beautifully vibrant green leaves are contrasting against the blue in this burst of complementary colour. I always think when I see specimens like this, imagine if it could talk or see, what stories might it tell? As a squirrel scampers up one of its many twisting branches. Our avenue of oak trees has led us down to a little pond. and on it is swimming a family of ducks. There's two parent ducks, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little ducklings. Can't be much more than a week old, I'd say. Just starting to explore the constraints of the pond as the parents try and keep up with them. I think they've spotted me, so they've headed for the reeds. We're now joined by another two families of ducks and ducklings. There's two mother ducks this time, one with two ducklings and the other one with another five. They're coming to see me now. Maybe they think that I've got some food. The other thing that has struck me about this pond as I wander around it is the amount of tadpoles. It's absolutely swarming with them. The ducklings swim right up to my feet. I'm looking down at a swarming mass of soon-to-be frogs or newts. I thought I had quite a few in my pond at home, but I don't think I've ever seen a pond with so many tadpoles in it. It's absolutely incredible. Whether you're a tadpole or a duck, I'm quite envious of their home here. It's absolutely stunning. I must admit, I was tempted to jump into the pond with the tadpoles and the ducks and join them, but I've reluctantly left them to get on with their everyday life. And I've followed the path down towards Posworth Beck. Again, we're surrounded by old oak trees that are covering the path and dotting this quiet enclave of the valley. Some of them have bluebells dotted around the bottom of their trunks as their roots splay out. As we get down here, it's a bit more shaded, so I'm glad of the little extra layer that I put on this morning. It's lovely just to wander along the side of the beck and hear the water as it rushes over the rocks. In fact, as we make our way up, I imagine the cacophony of water sound will get ever greater as we approach Posworth Gill Waterfall, which is one of the many highlights on this walk up the Valley of Desolation. Here we are at the stunning Posworth Gill Waterfall. It's a while since I've visited this little spot, and I'd forgotten how large the waterfall actually was. You see photographs of it and you think, yeah, it's a decent waterfall, but it's only when you come up to it and physically experience it you can revel in its magnitude. I would say it's about 10 to 15 metres in height, which is really quite impressive. As you see the hawthorn and silver birch trees perching on top of it, you think, what a beautiful view they have. Well, it's pretty spectacular from down here in the bowl underneath it, as the stream runs away down the valley beyond. When the waterfall's in full spate, it creates this amazing torrent. It's not quite in full spate today, but there's still plenty of water coming over it, creating this stream of white coming over the moss-clad rock, which is quite dark in comparison. It really is a beautiful contrast. The birds seem to be enjoying it. There's a little grey wagtail just hopping about in between the rocks in the pool at the bottom. really has an idyllic home. We've made it to the top of Poswith Gill Waterfall now. And I've got this spectacular view over the ridge of the falls as the water plunges down towards the pool below. I don't want to get too close to the edge because the water's got this sort of hypnotic sense where it draws you towards it. I don't want to follow it down to a rather damp and painful end at the bottom. Looking in the other direction, just before the falls, and looking further up the stream, which looks as calm as anything. The water doesn't necessarily know of its adventure to come as it plunges down over the falls. Really is a contrast in mood from calm to drama and then back to calm again. So we continue to follow the stream up Poswith Gill and the Valley of Desolation. I've come across this silver birch tree which has toppled over. Must have been in the storms over winter. It still must be rooted in at some point because the leaves and the seed pods are still all growing, as everything is at this time of year. But it's growing at a jaunty sort of horizontal angle off the bank at the side of the valley. And the roots are all splaying out, pointing skyward rather than being rooted into the ground. The Valley of Desolation actually gets its name from a storm that happened in the 1800s when it came through and devastated a lot of the trees in the valley and ended up looking very desolate indeed. It's good to see that today life has returned and trees are very much well established again. But it goes to show that if the right weather, or maybe the wrong weather, comes along, then this valley could be devastated once again. Just reached this beautiful patch of bluebells which are overhanging the stream. It's just lovely to pause and take in your surroundings in a place like this. It feels like I'm in my own little corner of the world. I haven't seen a soul since I left this Cavendish Pavilion. I've just been surrounded by beautiful nature. When I come to places like this, I often try to imagine that I'm the only person left on the world. It's quite a humbling thought, really. As we've just discovered from that fallen tree, nature is an extremely powerful thing. I think we can be forced to take it for granted sometimes, but when you do come to a place like this, it grounds you in perspective of who you are as a human being and the things that we have to deal with and the things that we have to live with throughout our lives. Nature, whether it has a plan for us or not, is definitely playing a dominating role in who we are as people. And in a place like this, it feels very much at the forefront of my mind. It's lovely just to revel in its beauty, its dramatic beauty. Anyway, to stop me becoming even more philosophical, I'm going to carry along this undulating path up through the valley and head towards the top, where we'll meet some dramatic moorland. We're starting to leave that babbling sound of Posfath Gill Beck in the distance now as we head up the side of the valley. I'm not sure about the Valley of Desolation. Maybe they should rename this the Valley of Solitude, because all I'm surrounded by is peace now we've left that water behind. Apart from the sound of the birds in the trees, there's not much else to catch the ears. It really is idyllic. We've now left the path that was leading us up past Posfath Gill, and we've reached this area of woodland, or at least it would have once been woodland. There's still plenty of established pine trees on my left hand side, but to the right and in front of me, the trees, or a lot of the trees anyway, have been cut down to encourage the habitat that can grow now on this moorland fringe a little bit of a chance. Of course, the trees that have been cut down will be replaced elsewhere on the estate to keep the cycle of life going. But for the first time, it's starting to feel a little bit more desolate, and I can start to see where the name of the valley comes from, as I'm sure after that storm in the 1800s, this may have been what it looked like. As we progress up towards the head of the Valley of Desolation, it's making me realise how much of a false sense of security those trees were giving in the valley below, providing shelter from the breeze and also masking the bleak landscape that surrounds us. Now we've poked up above the tree line, we're just met by this vast swathe of bleakness. It's pockmarked by pockets of colour of bluebells dotting the side of the valley, the verdant green of the new life on the trees, but also the russet reds of bracken that is about to burst back into life for the summer, but still not quite just there yet. And as I look back from where we've come, spectacular views over the Wharfe Valley are starting to open up, framed by the trees that are lining the edges of this dramatic landscape. With the amassing clouds above, it's starting to feel a little bit more moody than when we set off, which is all adding to the atmosphere of this spectacular place. We've now reached the top of the Valley of Desolation, and what a beautiful experience it's been. Travelling up the stream, walking past the pond with the ducks and the tadpoles, and entering this desolate, otherworldly space at the top of the valley. And at the same time, not encountering a soul along the way. I suppose this humbling experience is coming to an end as the gate that we've just reached beyond stretches out onto the bleak, desolate moorland. If you're intrigued to know what's beyond the gate, then have a listen to our Simon Seat audio walk, which will take you beyond it, onto the moorland and up to the dramatic position that is the biggest hill in this area. But for me, I think it's about time that I turned back towards the Cavendish Pavilion and relive some of the atmosphere that has been created on the way up here. Thank you very much for listening to this audio walk. I do hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, then keep an ear out for our other audio walks here around the Bolton Abbey estate, and also our other audio walks across Yorkshire. But until the next audio walk, as I say, thank you very much for lending me your ears. I look forward to speaking to you again in the next one.